Hello, hello. My name is Mark. Thank you for having my story. It's so funny that this topic is about trust. Well, I'm going to start my story. Hi, my name is Mark Bogle. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and my parents died when I was around 2 or 3. I then lived with my grandmother till I was about 6 and then went to Jamaica where I was raised until about 13 or 14. And then I came back to the States where I started my passion for music and loving the Lord. My grandma always made sure of that. I played the keyboard and the drums at First United Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ for years until I finished high school. And then I started college, I went to Cordon Bleu, where I started my new love for food over the next few years. I lost my connection with God and was chasing my own desires, which brought me through a dark path. But through it all, God never let me down. I've made many mistakes and burnt many bridges, but through it all, God kept me and he kept calling my name. The Bible says, who the Lord loveth, he chaseth, Hebrews 12:6. After graduating culinary school, I moved out on my own and got an apartment, trying to do this thing called life on my own. But after years of failure and disappointments, I had to give up and move back home with grandma, which was my rock. Grandma was an evangelist, her name was Mother Bogle, a true prayer warrior that always prayed for me day in and day out. Even on her sick bed, January this year, she was in the hospital and said, make sure you pray for Mark. But before she died, I had a beautiful son, Jack Henry, who was living in Oviedo with his grandparents and is well taken care of. Having him really changed my life. He has become my motivation for being a better me and becoming a role model in his life. I had to experience some challenges these past few years, but it's only lead me back to Christ. I thank God for always making the way, and when all hope was gone, he always take care of me. I am now 19 months sober and doing whatever God leads me to do. I have been a member since February 29th, 2024, and loving my service work that I've been contributing back to Belle Isle Community Church, and will continue to do so as long as the Lord permits. This is my story.
Thank you, Mark. That was fantastic. Before you go, you were sitting in the red chair, and I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. This is what I saw. I saw you standing in front of a big door, and God wants me to tell you that you're getting ready to walk through a new door and a new season in your life. He wants me to remind you that this door is narrow. The things that are on this side of the door, God doesn't want you to bring everything with you because they're going to weigh you down. And he wants you, as you're walking through this new season, this new doorway, to leave the things in the past and walk through this narrow door. I'm reminded of the scripture, narrow is the way. Wide is the way for a lot of people, but it's narrow. And you're going to squeeze through the door, but as you walk through this door, you're walking into a new season, a season of blessing, a season of favor. And walk with me just for a moment. As you walk through this door, there's going to be unlimited vista for you. Unlimited vision. God is going to be with you. You're never going to go by yourself. And as you walk through this door, you are walking into a season of tremendous blessing. And God wants you to know that he's with you. He's going to guide you and lead you into this new season. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Mark. A widow woman with a little bit of flour, a little oil, and a few sticks. What a story. Like Mark's story, it's a story of incredible faith. She doesn't even have a name. She's got a story, but she doesn't have a name. And I'd be a little upset. I mean, if God's going to use my story, I'd at least want him to put my name in the story. But she doesn't even get a name. She's a widow woman. A little flour, a little oil, and a few sticks. She's living in a town called Zarephath. Funny name. Incredible meaning. That word there, Zarephath, means to be refined by fire. She was going to be tested. She was going to be walked through that fiery furnace. She was going to feel the heat. Sometimes God is our good shepherd. He walks us through seasons where it feels a little warm, a little hot. You're going through the fire. How many's ever been through the fire? This little widow woman with a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of sticks was walking through the fire. She was in the middle of a famine. Now, we don't know anything about that because I mean, look at me. I've never been through a famine. Neither of you. The prophet Elijah had prophesied and said, for 3.5 years, there's not going to be rain. Can you imagine what Florida would look like without rain? There was no rain. It was dry. It was dusty. I'm sure it was confusing. I'm sure it was a time of incredible fear and anxiety. This woman got to the place where it was so bad that she started to collect sticks to make a fire so she could cook her last meal. And the Bible says this, to die. That's how bad it was. She was getting ready to die. And God sent a prophet. God sent a man. God sent a woman. God sent a voice to her in the middle of her desert, in the middle of the fire, to test her faith. Was she gonna hang on to this oil and this flour? Or was she gonna release this little bit into the hands of a mighty God to see what God was gonna do for her? I'm glad to tell you that she did the right thing. I think many times all of us, we're in the fire. We're like that widow woman. We're not baking our last cake to die, but we hang on. We squeeze. We hold tight. And we don't live by faith. We squeeze it tighter and tighter. And every day, the grip gets stronger and stronger. For some reason, God wants to bring a message today of faith to encourage us that we are called to live by faith. The Bible says when Jesus returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? And we've got a lot of great quotes and a lot of great scriptures in there that you can look at later. But it's a message of faith. It's a message of you and I allowing that trust in God to be developed to the point where we are willing to surrender everything because we trust God and we know that he's going to bring us through the fire. How many of you are here today and God has ever brought you through the fire? It's painful. It's hard. It's a season of incredible lessons that we learn in the fire, but we come out stronger. We come out better when our hope is in God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So today I'm going to give you 6 points that I believe are going to help you and I to live by faith and not by what we see. I want your faith to come alive today. Amen. I want your faith, like that widow woman, to come alive and to put our trust and our hope in the living God. He is able. So your faith comes alive, number one, when you look beyond your current circumstances. Look beyond. I don't want you to focus on the sickness that you're dealing with. I don't want you to focus on the personal relationship struggle that you're having. I don't want you to look and focus on what the attorney says. I want you to look beyond your current circumstances and see with the eyes of faith. Your faith comes alive when you look beyond your circumstances and you see God. Look in the scripture, the 1 Kings. Elijah said, "As surely as the Lord God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself with my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah helped this woman who didn't have a name to look beyond her current circumstances to see things that weren't real as though they were real. And that's what faith is. She had the ability to see that through this difficult time, through this fire, that she had to look beyond her circumstances and live and see and walk by faith. A few years ago, many of you, some of you were here, some weren't. We used to be next door in the auditorium over there. I first got here and we were over there and we were $18 million in debt. Talk about an impossible situation. We came back over to this building, this church, home. This was home. And we came home, but home had been neglected a little bit, and there were some things that needed to be done. And one of the things that needed to be done was our roof, the very roof that you are worshiping God under today, was voted the worst roof in the history of Christianity. There were mounds on the top of this roof. It looked like the moon. I drove by and thought, what in the, it looked like cottage cheese. I mean, it was just waves of just bumps, and it was in terrible shape. It was home, but God needed to restore our roof. In addition to that, we needed AC units. And the opportunity was that we didn't have the money to pay for the roof. We didn't have the money to put new ACs in. And we prayed. And we trusted God. Watch this. We looked beyond our terrible looking roof and we saw in faith what we believed God wanted to do for us. And lo and behold, I got a knock on my door. Someone wanted to come see me. They came in and said, "Pastor Scott, I made little money in the stock market and I want to give the church $200,000, get a new roof, and get new AC units." See, you're worshiping under a roof that God provided for. Because as a church, we were full of faith. We knew that God was moving. We knew that God wanted us to be here. We knew we were home, but we needed a little bit of help. And we had to look beyond our current circumstances to see that God is able. Your faith, my faith, comes alive when we look beyond our natural circumstances and see things the way God sees them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you're sick, believe God to heal you. If you're in financial trouble, believe God to help you. If your marriage is broken, look beyond your natural circumstances and see things the way God sees them, full of faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number two, your faith comes alive like this widow woman when you allow your faith in God to conquer your fear. Everyone say fear. Look what Elijah said to this widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. And Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." See, church, our hope is in God. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God. And God gives you the ability to conquer fear. Elijah said to that woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you're scared. I know you're panicked. I know you're hungry. I know you're tired. I know you've been through the fire, but don't be afraid." And I declare that over this church today. Don't be afraid. Allow your faith in God to come alive and don't let fear control you. Don't be afraid. A couple months ago, I was made aware of doing the teacher appreciation that we did a couple weeks ago. What a great event. Found out there's going to be 200 teachers, and guess what? Fear crept in. I almost fell out of my chair. I mean, I had faith for 50, maybe 100, 200 teachers. And my first response is, we can't do it. We can't afford it. It's going to cost this much money. But I've learned that muscle called faith has been developed in my life so many years that I knew that now is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to live in fear. And I said, yes, believing that God was going to come through. And guess what? He came through. We needed 10 volunteers. There was 50 people showed up Sunday after church. We needed a little bit of food. There was more food. We fed 5,000 people with all the food that you guys brought. Live by faith. Don't allow fear to control you and discourage you. Your faith comes alive when you put your faith in God, and God always shows up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number three, your faith comes alive. And this is going to be hard for some of you. I'm getting ready to offend somebody. I feel it. I'm getting ready to step on toes. The finance committee right now is really worried. They're living in fear right now. Here it is. When you allow your faith to come alive, don't overthink it. You're making what you're going through too difficult. You're overthinking it. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 5, the fisherman. I love fishing. I love fisher stories. Bruce caught a fish this week and came and showed me. I love fishing stories. I love fish. The guy's been out all night in Luke chapter 5. They've been out all night and they caught nothing. They show up on shore. They're discouraged. They're mad. They're upset. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, take your boat back out and go fishing. And their response was, we've been all night and we haven't caught a thing. Jesus said, don't overthink it. Go back and do what I tell you to do. And I love this phrase, but because you say so, I will. And what did they do? They went back out right where they were fishing before and caught a whole boatload of fish. Why? Because they didn't overthink it. Church, you're smart. You folks in the balcony, you guys are intelligent. You guys are amazing. But you know what? Sometimes we overthink it. And we just need to live by faith and stop thinking so much.
Amen.
Cracker Barrel. Has spent $700 million on a revamping that is a total disaster. I don't drink it, but it's a Bud Light .2. $700 million. They took a beautiful, iconic logo with Uncle Herschel on the front, sitting on a barrel, and then watch this. They paid somebody $1 million to come up with a logo that my 3-year-old granddaughter could have developed. $1 million. Now, if I had the opportunity to walk into that boardroom, I'm not the brightest tool on the block, but I would look at that boardroom and those board members, I was like, you guys are overthinking it. I know you've got your degrees. I know you got your education. I know you got your experience, but it wasn't broke. Why are you trying to fix it? You're overthinking it. Now, let's not get mad at Cracker Barrel because we do the same thing sometimes. We overthink it. And if you're going to live by faith, sometimes you just don't have to think that hard. You have to live by faith. That doesn't mean you don't pray. It doesn't mean you don't get counsel. It just means that sometimes we just overthink it, and it's not really as hard as we think it is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't overthink it. A couple of years ago, I was down at the food bank. Tammy and our church and I founded and ran it for almost 12 years. We were feeding 500 families a day. 500 families a day. And the staff came to me one day. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. Had to go out and raise tens and millions of dollars. Had to go be with politicians. Had to go up to Tallahassee. And it was just, sometimes it was really overwhelming what I had to do to help the poor people in our city. 500 families a day. Staff came to me. One Monday morning, I'll never forget, I could take you to the warehouse and show you the place we were standing. They said, Pastor Scott, we're out of food. I said, what do you mean? I don't know, Pastor Scott. All our connections, all our contacts, everything's dried up. We are out of food, and we're getting ready to open up in about 15 minutes. I didn't have time to call a committee. I didn't have time to call the board. I didn't have time to do anything, but my first response is, you know what? I'm not going to overthink it. Let's pray. And we gathered, God is my witness, about 15, 20 of us gathered in that warehouse, and we joined hands, and we just joined hands and said, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God, we don't know what to do. These people are counting on us for us to be here, and we need food, and we're asking you to help us. Please, we need your help. God is my witness. 10 minutes later, we heard a knock on the big bay door. And one of the employees opened up with the big chain, opened up that big old bay door, and there was a truck driver that had already backed up to that loading dock, and the first words out of his mouth was, I've got 19 pallets of food. Do you guys need any food? My point is, we didn't overthink it. We simply prayed. We simply asked God. We simply allowed our faith to come alive and say, God, this is a complicated problem. This has got a lot of moving parts. Help us not to be like Cracker Barrel. Help us not to overthink it. Help us to put our trust in you. Cracker Barrel stock just drove another 200 points. I hope you don't own stock in Cracker Barrel. I apologize for that. Don't overthink it. Number four, you still with me? I like this one. Your faith comes alive when you place what's in your hands into the hands of God. Faith comes alive when you take what's in your hands. She had a little oil, a little flour. She took what was in her hands, and she put it into the hands of Almighty God. And when we do that, faith comes alive, and good things happen when you take what you have and you place it in the hands of God. Amen. So, Bruce, let me use you just for a moment. Come on up here just for a sec. You guys have seen this before. It's a beautiful illustration of putting our trust in God. It's a beautiful illustration of the power of stewardship and giving and not tipping, but honoring God and trusting Him with our finances. Here is, watch this. This is your money. Now, if Warren Buffett came to our service on a Sunday, who, by the way, in interest, he makes $37 million every day. Just in interest. If Warren Buffett came to our service and said, I want to help you guys. Will you put a little bit of what you have in my hands and let me help you make more? How many of you would be willing to do that? Can I see? Yeah. Some of us have more trust in Warren Buffett than we do God. God's bigger than Warren Buffett. God's got more money than Warren Buffett. God's smarter than Warren Buffett. And when we learn the principle of stewardship, the principle is simple. You take what God has given you, you put it in His hands, and you allow Him to bless what you get to keep. So watch this. Here's your gift. I'm going to take off 10%. I'm going to come to God and say, God, I trust you. Watch this. I honor you with my finances. When you put your gift in the hands of God, God then takes his other hand and he blesses what you get to keep. If you would do that with Warren Buffett, why wouldn't you do it with God? And that woman, stay right there, Bruce, that woman had the decision. Am I gonna hang on to my flour and my oil and try to overthink this and try to do this in my own strength? Or am I going to become a steward and put my trust in him that he will be able to take what is in my hands? If I put it in his hands, he will bless what I get to keep. And that widow woman put what was in her hands into the hands of God. And God says, as long as this famine endures, your oil and flour will never run dry. See, God's not after our money. He's after our heart. And when you trust him and you give and you honor him, he receives that gift in one hand and blesses the 90 that you get to keep. And that's good stewardship. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Bruce. Number five. Bruce, just stay up there and just go to the keyboard and play good. Play a good stewardship song. I love it. Number five. Quickly, we got to go. Faith comes alive when you simply obey when it doesn't make sense. Amen. Right. Simply obey. She had to obey twice. The first response was, bake me a cake with the last of your oil. She did it. Her faith came alive. Her son dies. Elijah says, give me your son. She gave up her son because she had developed a trust in what Elijah was going to say. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Faith comes alive when you and I simply obey when it doesn't make sense. Amen. I've got another faith story for you. You want one more? We were running the food bank. And this is when the NBA went on strike. So what that means is the billionaire owners still made money. The multimillionaire players still made money. The people who didn't make money was the people who parked your car, cooked the popcorn, served the hot dogs, got your seat. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was 5,000 employees that didn't get a paycheck. I read the article at home, and I went on Monday morning to the food bank, and I gathered the staff, and I says, we're doing a press conference this afternoon. I know that doesn't make sense. We don't have the money to do it, but we are going to make a proclamation that we are going to take care of every single employee that lost their job because of the NBA lockout. We're going to take care of them for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And you should have saw the look on their face. Eyes this big, half of them turned pale. Started to sweat, started getting a little shaky. I said, guys, if we don't step up, who's going to step up? We got 5,000 people in our city that are without a job. The least we can do is believe God for a Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas toys for every family. We did the press conference. Every news media was there. I simply just got up and said, we're going to take care of the people. It was in the Orlando Sentinel. It was word spread. Little did I know that a few days before I made that announcement, First Baptist Orlando said, we're going to bless the Greater Orlando Food Bank, and we're going to write them a check for $50,000. Watch this. Without knowing what they were getting ready to do, I stepped out in faith when it didn't make sense. And as I stepped out in faith, God spoke to the leaders of First Baptist Orlando. And as I was moving in faith, there was the funds already on the way. And we were able to take care of 5,000 families. Thanksgiving boxes, food, toys. I had no idea those funds were getting ready to come. But as I stepped out in faith, those funds were moving. At the amount of energy you exercise your faith, God will provide for you. And it comes in the proportion of the way you move in faith. Are y'all with me? Number six. Do it when it doesn't make sense. Trust God, obey Him. And number six, your faith comes alive when you become like a little child. Become like little children. I'll do it. I trust you. I know it doesn't make sense. I know I've never done this before. I know this doesn't feel good. But I'm going to be like a little child. You know what my best time is being a grandpa? I got three, and I got one in the oven in Atlanta, and God is just blessing, and I'm just loving every bit of it. I love feeding them candy, especially when mom says don't, and I'm like, well, mom's not around. You're at G-Pop's house. I got a little corner. I call it G-Pop's corner store. I got a little section in our kitchen, and I stick Heidi up on the counter, and I say, welcome to G-Pop's country store. What can I get for you? And she just starts picking all this different candy. It's amazing. Aaron is just like it. My grandfather was just like amazing. He loves candy. And I just get all the candy up there, give it to her. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We'll see you. God bless you. She walks away. I love doing that. I love taking them swimming. They don't know it, but they're jumping into 10,000 gallons of water. But when they hear G-Pops say, come on in, Heidi. I got you. Come on in, Duke. Come on in, George. The faith of a little child jumping in 10,000 gallons of water, the fear is eliminated, and they jump into my arms by faith. If I were you, I would allow this story of the widow woman refined in the fire, hanging on to a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, allow her faith to stir you today to believe with God. All things are possible. And we're going to trust Him, and we're going to honor Him, and we're going to be like little children. We're going to jump into the arms of G-Pops because we're full of faith, and we're trusting in an awesome, mighty God. Would you stand up across the auditorium?